Blog Talk Radio. Congo Square. The Omis Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omis Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Omis Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us, our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat. Be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart, beat. Heart, beat. Heart, be at this place. At this place, be heart, beat, be we, beating place in new world space. Beating, being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be Bambula dance, be Banza music, and sing song words which have No English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy. Must retain and pass on the essential us-ness that others want to dissipate with out of us.
Whoa!
But no matter. No matter how much of us they prohibit. No matter how much of us they prohibit. Deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning, a sun day, a feel without shade, but dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to be, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be. Beat. Be. Beat.
So.
Congo Square. Be. Congo Square.
Alafia, this is Baba Ojolola Ajani Bashaki, and I am joining you through a pre-recorded message for this week's Ifa Wednesdays. I'd like to start off by giving proper respect. Orimio Adewo Risha Mojuba, Olodumare Olojoni Mojuba, Oromila Ibikeji Olodumare Mojuba, Eshu Olotoju Orita Mojuba, Egungun Babatiya Mojuba, Obatala Olo mototo mojuba Iba bogbo risha Iba bogbo rumele ashe Iba oluwomi Oloye ifa shola adekunle onifade Iba bogbo ojugbona oshogbo Iba bogbo ojugbona ede Iba bogbo ojugbona agbaye ashe Mokiyo rami omo alade tire maker Mokiyo olowo alajio Mokiyo ogbo eniyawa Eta sano Ire aku, ire aje, ire alafia, ashe For those who are not familiar with the Yoruba language, what I said here was first giving praise and respect to my Ori, to Olodumare God, to Orumila, to Eshu, to my ancestors, to Obatala, to all Orisha and all Orumile. And then I gave respect to my Oluo, Ifashola Adekunle Onifade of Oshogbo. I gave respect to all the elders of Oshogbo, to all the elders of Ede, which is a town where my Oluo was originally from, and gave respect to all the elders around the world. I also greeted our host, who is Divine Prince Taya Mecca, and I greeted our esteemed guests, and of course I greeted you, our audience, and I wish you all a good afternoon, and I greet you all with blessings of long life, blessings of prosperity, and blessings of total peace and health. I share. As I mentioned before, I am joining you now by a pre-recorded message because I have some things that are conflicting with the schedule, so I'm not able to be on the show live. So what I figured I'd do is record this message and sort of set the tone for discussion in this week's show. We are talking about economics, and in order to take an active role in economics, you need to have money. You need to have some form of prosperity. Otherwise, your role in the economic structure and economic happenings in the world is actually a passive role, and a role in which things happen to you rather than you actually causing something to happen. It's basically, without some form of prosperity of your own, you are quite possibly a victim of the system. And we don't want to be victims of the system. We want to be participants. We want to make things happen rather than have things happen to us. In that mode of going, looking for our own prosperity, I want to open up with a prayer to Ifa for all of us to have prosperity. Ifa te ju mo wa ki wo wa ire, bi oba te ju mo ni la lo wo, bi oba te ju mo ni la re re, ashe, ashe, ashe o. In this prayer, we say, Ifa, fix your eyes upon us, looking at us well, and greet us with blessings. It's when you fix your eyes upon a person that he is rich, and it's when you fix your eyes well upon a person that he prospers. Ashe. This is what we're looking for, so that we, again, can be an active part of what goes on rather than be a victim or be subject to the things that happen, especially in the economic climate. Now,
as far as how we get to a point of prosperity, it's very important that we recognize the resources around us. One of the resources, one of the main resources, is Mother Earth. The Earth provides all things for us. Olodumare designed this whole system, the Earth, so that we would have the things that we need. So what's good for the Earth and what the Earth has is good for us. And this is explained in the Odu Ifa of Ogbe Oyeku. Ogbe Oyeku is the father of all Amulu. May your Ori be old, may it be steadfast. The husband of young ladies cast divination for Mother Earth, but also cast divination for Adan. Can life please the two of us, they asked. They were asked to make Ebo. Mother Earth performed the Ebo. Adan also was not left out. He too performed Ebo. They then started to dance. They were rejoicing completely. They were praising their Babalawos. Their Babalawos were praising Ifa. And they said it was just as the Babalawos had predicted. Ogbe Oyeku is the father of all Amulu. May your Ori be old. May it be steadfast. The husband of young ladies cast divination for Mother Earth and also cast divination for Adan. Life pleased Adan and life pleased Mother Earth. Life pleased Mother Earth. The life that pleased Mother Earth would definitely please Adan. The life that pleased Mother Earth would definitely please Ebo. The life that pleased Mother Earth would definitely please Adan, Ashe. So, what Olodumare has granted for Mother Earth is all the things that we need. What was good enough for Olodumare to give to Mother Earth is good enough for us. Mother Earth has all the things, thanks to the blessing of Olodumare, all the things that we need to prosper in life and to generally live well, not just monetarily, but also health-wise and spirit-wise. The Earth is filled with all these things that we need. Now, once we understand that, we need to understand the matter of destiny. We need to understand the matter of Ori. We need to understand that what is good for another person may not be the same thing that's good for us. We need to understand that our own destiny may be different from somebody else's destiny. We cannot expect to prosper in the same way that another person prospers. That doesn't mean that it's impossible for you to prosper in the same way. I mean, if it is your destiny to prosper in that way, then so be it. That's the way it will be. However, if your destiny is truly some other way, there's some other path for you to prosper in life, for you to receive the blessings that you're meant to receive in life, you have to pursue that. You can't try to pursue what somebody else did if that's not what's meant for you. And most of all, you cannot cheat your way into prosperity. You cannot fake it. You must do what's authentic for you. And if you're trying to copy somebody else, it's just not going to work. And you can't, it's even worse if you're going to take shortcuts or try to fake what another person did to be successful. And we have a verse in Ofun Ogbe which tells us this message. It's the dry wood that has no leaf. Parasitic plants have no tap roots. Cast divination for Mieye, and also cast divination for his wife, on the day that they were both crying because they had no wealth. Both the husband and wife were crying that they were wretched in poverty. But the complaints of the husband were more agonizing than those of his wife. The husband raised some local chickens as free-range game that he would, or free-range poultry that he was selling, or that he was hoping to sell, so that they would have prosperity, so they would have money to sustain themselves. However, as he was raising these chickens, they began to die, and this brought the husband into tears. He was really upset because that was his hope for money. That was his hope to sustain himself and his wife by selling these birds. And he was hoping to generate funds by doing this. And he wept bitterly, and he became really worried about being able to survive. And just at that point, Eshu came to him and advised him to roast the chicken and keep it. Mieye did as he was told by Eshu. And days upon days passed, and months passed. Eventually, there was a kind of disease that inflicted the daughter of Olokun. And she was very ill and bedridden. When Olokun went to consult with his awos, they told him to find a chicken that had long been dead, and that without this chicken, his daughter would not be well. They said, it's a dead chicken that would be used to perform the rites in order to save your daughter. So they started to look around for a chicken that was already dead. But Eshu, who of course knew about this necessary ebo, told them that a dead chicken could only be found at Mieye's house. And they said, he said, go and look for Mieye. Before the servants arrived at Mieye's house, Eshu had already been there and advised Mieye that he should sell the chickens, the dead chickens, for 200,000 cowries. 200,000 calories was really a lot of money in those days. So eventually the servants of Olokun, who were searching for the dead chicken, came by, and they brought out 200,000 calories in exchange for the dead chicken. And they paid for the dead chicken and brought it home to Olokun. And they went through the rituals, and Olokun's daughter became cured of her sickness. Then, after another brief span of time, the same type of disease inflicted the child of Olosa. And he quickly thought of a solution. His solution, of course, was to consult Ifa. And the Awos also told him to get a dead chicken, and that the chicken would be able to be found in Mieye's house. So Olosa's servants went to Mieye's house, and they too bought a dead chicken from him, and they also paid 200,000 cowries for this dead chicken. Mieye took the money and he kept it. However, although it was his wife who the servants of Olosa and Olokun had initially met when they came to Mie's house, and she had directed them to Mie, he did not give her any of the money. He kept all the money for himself. And Mie's wife became pretty disturbed over that. She was upset, saying that, you know, my husband didn't even share any of this money with me. And then she decided to take a chicken for herself, and she clubbed it to death, and the chicken died, and then she cooked it, and she kept it. And after a long period of time, again, a similar sickness, or the same sickness, affected another one of Olokun's children. And Olokun said, well, we already know where to buy the dead chicken. So he sent his servants over to Mie's house. And when the servants went there, of course, Eshu followed. And as they entered Mie's house, they met with the woman, Mie's wife, of course, and she quickly went and fetched the chicken that she had clubbed to death. And as the servants of Olokun were counting the money, and they were about to give the money to her, Eshu said to them, be careful here. It's true. We have to be sure that this chicken died by itself. And so they asked the woman, is it true that this chicken died by itself? And of course she said it did. It had died naturally. However, Eshu could see that this chicken was not dead by natural causes. He could see that this chicken was clubbed to death. And he advised Olokun's servants to then leave the chicken with her and don't bother with it. The woman then fell into tears. And she said, why must it be in my own time? Why must they refuse to buy the chicken from me this time? And she just wept and wept. No one uses an ori to compare to another. You are the one that rather compared your ori with that of Mieye. And in this, Ifa tells the wife not to be jealous or envious toward her husband. They started to dance and rejoice, and they were praising their Babalawos. The Babalawos were praising Ifa. And they said it was just as the Babalawos had predicted. It is a dry wood that has no leaf. Parasitic plants have no tap roots. Cast divination for Mieye, and also cast divination for his wife, on the day they were crying that they had no wealth. It's the sacrifice of wealth that they were asked to perform. It was Mieye alone that heard about the sacrifice and performed it. And he performed it in earnest. Abomination of the Orisha. No man should compare his Ori with that of Mieye's. Alright, so here the wife sees that Mieye has prospered by cooking a dead chicken and selling it. And in both cases where he did this, the dead chicken that he sold was one that had died by natural causes. He didn't kill the chicken. It was just a natural death. His wife saw the way he prospered, and she wanted to prosper as well. She took a shortcut. She didn't wait for a chicken to die. What she did was go ahead and club a chicken to death and then try to sell it as if it had died of natural causes. Right, now, we also note in the end of this verse that Mie's wife didn't make the ebo, although the Awos had consulted for both of them. Only Mie made the ebo. The wife did not make the ebo. She tried to take a shortcut again, and she just wanted to try and copy what her husband did in order to be prosperous. However, she didn't do the right thing. She didn't find out what it was that she needed to do in order to prosper. She just tried to copy what her husband did. And not only did she copy, but she tried to cheat her way in copying what he did. So she was wrong on several accounts there. One is, she could not rightfully compare her destiny to her husband's. Even though they are close, they are married, they have different things that they need to do in order to prosper. And she is trying to equate her destiny to her husband's. Well, more than equate, she's trying to make it the same. And you cannot change your own destiny to be that of somebody else's. And also, one thing that was driving her was envy and jealousy. Like, her husband was getting something she wasn't, and that he was able to do something that she couldn't. Envy and jealousy are things that really get us nowhere. Envy and jealousy hold us back. So it is important, as we are seeking prosperity in this life, don't waste your time with envy and jealousy. And don't try to copy what somebody else is doing. And even worse, if you are trying to copy what somebody else is doing, do not cheat your way through it. That is just not going to work, period. Also, going forward in trying to gain prosperity in this life, we must respect our elders. And respecting your elders is doing more than being kind and polite, but it is really doing the right thing by our elders. One practice that is very common in this society is abandoning your parents, and in more ways than one. One thing is that we commonly put our parents into retirement homes, nursing homes, when they become old and sickly, rather than taking care of them as we're supposed to. And that's one thing that we do to abandon our parents. Another is just moving away, seeking our own way in life, without coming back to check on our parents, without coming back to care on them, to care about them. And that too is wrong. And it's not just a matter of, you know, picking up a phone and calling, say, hi, how you doing? We need to be there. We need to visit. We need to actually check on them to make sure that they're doing all right. And then, more than just checking on them, making sure that they're doing all right, we must acknowledge their experience, their wisdom, so that we can carry on the family traditions. If we don't learn from our elders, we cannot do what they did. And we can end up taking a wrong route in trying to do things and trying to be prosperous in the ways that our parents or grandparents were. We can end up being hasty and again, trying to take shortcuts. And this is just not good. This is explained in another Ifa verse from Ofunarete. The tooth of a rich man would not be misplaced and pointed to the extent of using the lips of an Iwofa to cover it. This was a divination cast for six elders, the ones who were going to climb the Jua tree in the farm. These six elders being, in this case, adults, not necessarily old people, but these are adults. They were children of a farmer, and the farmer had seven sons, but six of them deserted their parents once they got beyond their youth and they became adults, and they went to go find their own means of livelihood. The seventh youngest boy stayed back with his parents, and the rest of them lived in cities far away from where their parents lived, and they just carried on their lives on their own. They didn't bother even visiting home to check on their father and their mother. As far as they were concerned, that part of their life was over. But the little boy stayed home and continued to learn the family business of farming from his father. And he would help his father. They would go out to the farm twice a year. And upon getting to the Jua tree out on the farm, they would hunt around the ground around the tree and pick the fruits that had fallen from the tree. And the son would help the father gather all these fruits. And they would go to the market and sell the fruits. And that's how they made their money. And actually, they were very prosperous in doing so. But it's important to note that they would only take the fruits that had fallen off the tree. They didn't climb the tree to get fruits that were still on it. They only took fruits that had fallen off. Anyway, after a long time, and when the youngest boy grew into an adult, sometime after that, the father passed away. He died, and the six elder siblings who lived far away, they returned home for the burial rites of their father. And when they came home, they did notice that, that life there on the father's farm was, you know, pretty well. They noticed that this business of the selling the fruits from the Jua tree was very prosperous. They acknowledged that, okay, this is really a cash crop here. So one of the sons decided that he was going to gather some of the fruit and he was going to go out to the market and sell it. He hunted around on the ground for some fruit that had fallen, but then he looked up in the tree and saw this abundance of fruits still growing on the tree. And he decided that it would be best if he could climb the tree and pick the fruits up there on the tree, and that he would have much more to sell. However, in climbing up to the top of the tree, he eventually fell. He hit the ground with a thud and he died. A second of the elder boys, the young man, came and he also decided that he was going to gather the fruits from the Jua tree. And he also looked up and noticed the abundance of fruit still up in the tree rather than the small amount, relatively small amount, that was on the ground. Now, he hadn't noticed the dead body of one of his brothers because there was so much shrubbery and greenery growing around, so he didn't really notice. And plus, he was focused on the fruits and focused on trying to make money. It was greed that was driving him. So he didn't really pay much attention and didn't notice his brother's dead body there. Anyway, he did notice the abundance of fruit in the tree, and he decided also to climb the tree. And he got to the top of the tree and slipped and fell, and he too hit the ground with a thud and he died. Now this went on with brother after brother, each of them going there to the farm on his own, trying to be greedy and trying to harvest the fruits that were still on the tree rather than just taking the ones on the ground. And eventually all six of the older brothers died the same way. Now, after some time, the youngest brother went out to the farm so that he could gather fruits and take them to the market as he had always done with his father. And he noticed the bodies of his six dead brothers. And he saw that they had all fallen with a bunch of the fruit from the tree. But since this fruit that they had picked from the tree was now on the ground, this was fallen fruit. And the younger brother knew then it was okay for him to sell this fruit because it was no longer on the tree. So he gathered all the fruits that his brothers had fallen with and gathered all the fruit that had already been on the ground. And he took all of that to the marketplace, and he prospered very well. And he was sad, though, although he prospered, he was sad because of the fact that his six brothers died. And crying about his six brothers, he said, he recalled what his father taught him and how his father went about harvesting the fruits. He's saying, Baba never climbed the tree. Baba only picked the fruits that were already on the ground. And this is how Baba became wealthy. And this is how I maintain the wealth, by only taking the fruits that are on the ground. And the small boy, eventually, after getting over his grief, he danced and rejoiced, and he praised his Babalao, and the Babalao was also praising Ifa. And he said that it was just as the Babalao had predicted. The tooth of a rich man would not be misplaced and pointed to the extent of using the lips of an Iwofa to cover it. This was divination cast for six elders, the ones who were going to climb the Jua tree on the farm. I have picked only the dropped ones. I didn't climb the Jua tree on my own. I picked only the fruits that dropped. Ashe. Now again, this shows that the boy learned from his father. He knew the proper way to harvest these fruits. He knew not to climb the tree because his father never climbed the tree. The older brothers didn't hang around, didn't help the father, so they didn't get to learn the proper way of harvesting from the father. They decided to try and take a shortcut, and once they had come for the funeral and then discovered that, okay, this crop from the Jua tree was actually a real cash crop, it was a good money maker. And rather than just being satisfied with what they would be able to make in money by selling only the fruits that had already fallen, they decided to be greedy and climb a tree and pick fruits from the top of the tree. And that is how they fell to their deaths. So none of them prospered. All of them only met their death through trying to be greedy and trying to be hasty. It's only the younger son who stayed with his father, cared for his father, and helped his father in the family business, and learned the proper way to conduct the family business from the father. So we must not abandon our parents. We must learn from them. Our parents know the tricks of the trade. Our parents, who are successful, know what to do to make that success. And we have to learn from them. And not only our direct parents, but grandparents, aunts and uncles. We must learn from our elders. And our elders know what to do in order to survive. However, in this day and age, unfortunately, a lot of our families have been through generations of looking for the easy way or not wanting to take the time to learn from elders and not wanting to do things the right way. The right way may take some more time. The right way may not be a get-rich-quick thing, but the right way is a sure thing. And that sure thing is what we're missing because we've been through generations of not taking care of our parents, not learning from our parents. Now, beyond our parents, there are our ancestors. Our ancestors also play a key role in our well-being, in our prosperity in life. And through honoring our ancestors properly, through taking care of them in the way of proper offerings, we actually call our ancestors to help us. When our ancestors are satisfied with the things that we do for them, we will surely be satisfied with what they will do for us. And this is evident in one verse of Oseirete, in which Ifa tells us, "The dog barked and barked, but the dog couldn't convert cola into his food. And the ancestors of the dog did not eat cola. So what would the dog use cola for?" Osebiele, the Awo in the city of Iseberun, he cast divination for the people of Iseberun. The child of Afisebi, Soro Suru Suru Funolofi, Ifa says that it's now time to break cola into bits. In support, I say it is time to break cola into bits. Oluwo says it's time to break cola in abundance. I affirm it is time to break cola in abundance. Ifa said that whenever we wake in the morning, we should use cola as offering to our ancestors. Oluwo says that when we wake up, we should offer cola to heaven, because cola cut into bits would get into heaven, and cola cut into bits would divide itself for our ancestors in heaven, and cola cut into bits would bring message of great blessings for us. This was divination cast for Abitula, the Awo of Olofin in heaven. Therefore, Abitula, you are now a wise Awo. You are a good Awo. For it's when you cut cola that you become rich. Therefore, Abitula, you are now a wise Awo. You are a good Awo. It's when you cut cola that you have wives. Therefore, Abitula, you are now a wise Awo. You are a good Awo. It's when you cut cola that you have many children. Therefore, Abitula, you are now a wise Awo, you are a good Awo. It's when you cut cola that you have all great blessings in life. Therefore, Abitula, you are now a wise Awo, you are a good Awo. Ashe, ashe, ashe. This particular verse is very special to me because my Odu Ifa from my initiation, my Itefa, is Osebile, Oseirete. And in that particular Odu,
the ancestors, Egungun, are extremely important. They have a very strong presence in that Odu, and they have a very strong presence in my life. So this verse from Osebile is important to me, and it tells me, tells us all, one, take care of your ancestors. And taking care of your ancestors is a very simple thing. The favorite offering to them is kola. And kola is not very difficult to come by, especially in Africa. It's a little more difficult to come by here in the United States these days, but it's not as difficult an offering as, let's say, slaughtering a goat as a sacrifice to the ancestors. It's a relatively simple offering, but it is a favorite. And it's not something to waste. We don't throw kola in front of dogs. And actually, if you ever threw kola in front of a dog, some dogs may pick it up and chew it for a little while, but they will eventually drop it out of their mouths. That's if the dog picks it up at all. Kola is not something that dogs like, and it's not something that the ancestors of the dog like. So don't throw your kola away for dogs to get, because it'll just be wasted. Rather, we should offer kola on a regular basis to our ancestors. And that way the kola is not wasted, and this favorite offering of the ancestors is appreciated and used. And by making this offering, we receive blessings. So let's not waste the things that Mother Earth provides as useful blessings. Let's use them properly so that we can be blessed. Let's use these offerings that Mother Earth provides for us and give to our ancestors, so that our ancestors will help us, so that our ancestors will continue to take care of us. And this is the wisdom of Abichula, who offered kola nut to his ancestors. He is a wise Owo, he is a good Owo, because he doesn't waste kola. He gives it to his ancestors, and in turn his ancestors take care of him. His ancestors bless him. We must learn from all of these verses of Ifa. We must learn from other verses of Ifa. We must learn from our elders, learn from our parents, and we must follow our own destiny, not try to copy somebody else's. We have to do what it takes to properly make our prosperity in this life. And again, we must have prosperity if we are to be the movers and shakers, rather than those who get moved and shaken by what goes on in the world. We have to not only survive, but we have to really properly make our way in this world. This is the message that I want to leave you with, and this is what I hope the discussion will build upon. With that, I say, Ire Aku, Ire Aje, Ire Alafia, Asheo. I pray that, again, the discussion continues, and that everyone learns from it, and we build upon it, and that we all
develop the proper good fortune that we need in life. Ashe, ashe,
asheo.